Mark chapter 5 this morning. Outside of God, it's, I'd say near impossible to say it is well with my soul. And because the only one that can meet the needs of the soul is the Lord. And thankful for that. Joe, are we on? Are we good? Do we have people watching online this morning? We do? Great. All right. Mark chapter number 5. Beautiful day today, and in the kitchen on your way out, if you can want to go through there, we have a bunch of free food for you. If that's of any help to you, it is we'll say slightly or close to expired, and there's no problem. It has not lost its integrity. Maybe the popcorn is a little less crunchy, but it tastes all good. Nonetheless, there's some hot sauces in there. Please be careful with which one you take. Depends on how your week goes. It depends on which one. Also, thank you for praying for Sam Bauman. He's home recovering. It looks like his belly problem is good, but now he's switched over a little bit of a cold. So just keep Sam and Jackie in your prayers. I know they'd appreciate it. Hopefully you're at Mark chapter number 5. We're going to read all 17 verses of our text here this morning, and then we will get into this morning's message. Mark chapter 5 and verse 1, and it says, "And they came over unto the other side of the sea." What just happened was Jesus stopped the storm with his voice. Pretty awesome. "And they came over onto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadareans. When he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones." Verse 6, "And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. And he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountain a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the swine herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus and see him that was, look at now, that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed, and in his right mind. And they were afraid, and they said, and they saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts." So let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. God, I thank you for the change that you make in people's lives. You can take one so destroyed by the hands of the enemy and bring sanity and bring hope. God, I ask that you do that here with us here today. Bless this time. Bless as we read. Bless as we preach your word, Lord. We need you here with us, Lord, right now. Please, God, meet our needs. Meet those needs that maybe are within our heart that we don't even know. Lord, reveal yourself to us now, please. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I would say a familiar story, a story probably you have heard before. And you know, it just reminds me that when coming in contact with Jesus, I'll say there's always a benefit. I mean, the only people that miss out here are the swine herders, right? I mean, in one moment, they are out of a job. There they are with their 2,000 pigs in the fields, and all of a sudden, boom. I mean, that just shows you how messed up this guy was. Those spirits, those evil things can get inside those swine and they run them right off the edge of the cliff and kill them, except for the swine herders. Everyone else turned out pretty good in this story. Man, 2,000 swine, that's 4,000 hams. That's a lot of sausage, bacon, pork chops. But there was one that benefited. There was a maniac. There was a man out of his mind that was totally changed in but a moment. Mark chapter 5 and verse 2, it says this. When he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. It defines it. It gives us an explanation. There's no, I don't have to wonder what's going on. I don't have to understand the setting. It is very clear and vivid exactly what is happening. And in verse 3, it says this, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. He lived among the cemetery, the tombs. You know, when you're part of the God's work, you know what you're most interested in? Life. When you're involved in the things of the enemy and the devil, hey, listen, young person, the devil's going to try and convince you maybe somewhere in your life that you'd be better off without life. That's a lie of the devil. Hey, this one that is possessed by, the Bible uses here, devils, demons, if you will. I know the word demons isn't in your Bible, but you understand what we're talking about here. Unclean spirits, it says in verse 2. Where does he live? He lives in the tombs. Because the enemy is all about death. And Jesus Christ is all about life. He came to this world to bring life. Throughout the scriptures, we see no one die in the presence of Christ. He is life. Christ gave us life. Go with me to Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. Hey, there's a benefit of meeting with Christ. Say, this guy was a mess. Did you read the description, his physical description? Imagine what this guy looked like. I don't know if he just looked like an average guy that had, I would say, supernatural strength. Because he was bound by chains and fetters and they couldn't hold him. Fetters are like chains that hold your ankles and feet to the ground. Couldn't hold them down. I don't know if he just looked like a normal guy or didn't he look strong, whatever. But the Bible says that at night he would cut himself. Could you imagine being a little town just off the side of that mountain and each night hearing him screaming and yelling? Oh, that's scary. I wouldn't want to live there. I wouldn't want to be around that. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. See, before Christ, I was dead. But you know what Christ brought me? He brought me life. Say, no, you don't understand. When I came to Christ, I was walking and I was moving. In your spirit, you were dead. You had no life. You were without. And Jesus Christ, hey, you were like that maniac. You were living among the tombs. You were living a dead man's life. What a weird companion to keep. A tombstone and death. Hey, that's what we were outside of Christ. All our friends were dead. Spiritually. But then, oh man, look at verse 4. Two of my favorite words in the Bible. Because here's my course, but God intervened. Hey, there was a guy screaming and living in the mountains, couldn't be bound, was cutting himself, scaring people, terrorizing people, hurting himself. But God showed up one day. Hey, and you look at your life, and oh, my life's a mess, and my life is hurting, and I've made bad decisions. I've done this, I've done that, but God. Why don't you let the Lord rewrite your story? But God, tell me about your God, who is rich in mercy. For his great love wherewith he loved us. I know, I must be so lovable. Jackson comes walking down the hall, and I just want to kiss his cheeks. They're big. He has it. I don't know what the rate is. I don't know if it's measurable, but he has a very high kissability rate. Now, ask the parents before you do. You know, you understand. And you just look at that and go, oh, that's easy to love. I mean, how cute. That, and that's what we think we presented to the Lord. Look at how wonderful I am. No, let me remind you, you are the crazy man living among the tombs. And in that situation, hey, he didn't stumble upon this maniac. No, he went to him. He sought you out. Say, it's because I had so much to offer the Lord. Let's read verse 5, lest we forget our past. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. The only reason you have salvation, because God gave it to you. You did not earn it. You did not deserve it. You were not lovable. You were dead in your sins. You were hopeless, just like this maniac. No man could help him. Ever look at your life? Maybe you go to the doctors and the doctor's like, I'm sorry, we just can't help you. But God. But God can get in there. And he who is rich in mercy, say, is he going to take away my ailment? No, but he can change the course of your life. But God who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love toward us. Again, not because I was lovable. But God commendeth his love toward us. That means he poured out his love in that, what? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When did this happen? When we were dead in our sins. Hey, I want to tell you about the benefit of meeting with Jesus. Number one, there is no more living. There's no more living among the dead. When you come with Christ, you are given life. John chapter 11. This man's life was dramatically changed. So much so that people came just to see him. Hey, we heard a story about this guy. I want to see this guy. John chapter 11, verse 25 says, Jesus said unto her, what did he say? He's talking to Martha here. Martha. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Hey, I can walk among the tombs, and I can find that one who is dead in their trespasses, in their sins, and I can give them life. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Verse 26, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And he asked this question, believest thou this? And I ask you the same question. Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the God of the living? that he can take someone who is so messed up in their sin and give them an eternal and brand new life. Absolutely. Say, how can he do it? Because he's wealthy. Oh, he's rich. Rich in mercy and grace. And that grace is that payment for salvation. Man. I was 10. How old were you? How old were you when the Lord Jesus Christ came into your life? How old were you when you benefited with meeting with Christ? So I don't know. I'm not sure I have. Don't let today go by. Why would you live there any longer? What's it benefiting you? Nothing. It is a benefit to give, to inherit eternal life. But man, he changes your life today. Look at what happens here. Go back to Mark chapter 5. Number one, the benefit of meeting with Jesus. We are no more living among the dead. Number two, Mark chapter 5 and verse 4. Mark chapter 5 and verse 4. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains. We talked about this. And the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Have any scars on you? Oh yeah, one time we were doing this or that. I got a couple scars from when I used to do contracting work, and maybe got something, right back here I got the... I was dumb, right? A lot of those stories start with, we shouldn't have been, right? I knew better, but mom told me not to, yeah. Dad warned me, but I thought I knew better. Imagine what this guy looked like. Imagine his arms, his legs, his body, just those sharp stones just cutting himself. Hey, that's the hand of the devil. Hey, the devil's convincing our young people, cut yourself. That ain't godly. That isn't biblical. That isn't right. There's something going on in someone's heart when they say, I want to hurt myself. No, there ought to be a self-preservation about us. When you fall into the water, what do? You try and swim to the top. Unless you're doing the, like, how long can you hold your breath competition. But here, this is what this man was all about. He was chained. They would chain him and he would break those chains. Hey, meeting with Jesus, you are no more chained to the things of this world. Isn't that a blessing? Luke chapter 4, just listen to this verse. Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. This is talking of Christ. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. God says, give me the ones that are battered, give me the ones that are cut up, that are bound, that are chained, that have been abused. And he says, I have something for you. Amen. You no longer have to be bound to this world. Man, imagine if we brought Rick Seatman the third and said, all right, let's go downtown and let's just start opening up people's gated rooms. Say, why would we do that? I don't know why God would do that with us, but he set us free. He set us free from our sin and didn't make us have to pay the penalty. We are no longer chained to the things of this world. Hey, if this world's got a hold on you, it's because you put the chain on there yourself. I want to be bound to sin. No, you don't have to live like that anymore. Look at John chapter 8. John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse 31. Look at this conversation and think about the things that we've just been talking about. John chapter 8 and verse 31, it says this. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed. He says, they responded with, don't you know our heritage? Don't you know who we are? We are Abraham's chosen, and we're never in bondage to any man. Just because someone says something doesn't mean it's true. That's what the internet has taught me. Just because you read it doesn't mean it's true. Just because someone says something with confidence doesn't mean it's true. This is truth. They're telling Jesus, we were never bound by any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Well, we don't owe anybody anything. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. We come to the Lord and say, oh no, don't you worry. I got this thing all under control. I'm not bound by this. I am the one that's in control of my sin, not my sin in control of me. Hey, you're being lied to. You're being deceived. And Jesus says, you've got this whole thing all wrong. I can control it. No, you can't. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Sin's not a toy that you play with. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. As a Christian, we are no longer bound to those things. We are no longer chained to the world. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, look at verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators nor adulterers, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. But such were some of you. But you're washed. But not only that. Hey, not only did he get that rid of that thing. Not only did he wash you from that lifestyle. No longer are you chained to that anymore. He says, not only that. I've not only cleansed you from that. I've actually sanctified you and made you usable for me, he says. But ye are justified. Do you see that? You're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified. It's like it never was in your life. I'm no longer bound to that. Man, that's good news. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Why is he telling us this? Because sin has the ability to bring us under its power. Don't live there anymore. Don't be chained to that. Christ set you free. Say, no. A lot of people, we talked about this a little bit in Sunday school this morning. People try and justify their sin. I'm sin because I have this in my life because of this external thing or because of this thing that's going on. You have the sin that's in your life because you took the chain and you put it on your ankle and or on your wrist and on your ankle. You've been set free from that thing. You can live free from that through Christ. You don't have to live bound to the world anymore. Mark chapter 5. Two more points here this morning. Mark chapter 5. Look at verse 6. I understand Mark chapter 5 and verse 6. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. Not all that see Jesus run and worship him. Some are spiritually blind, if you will. Go with me to John chapter number 9. I've always thought this story was... Sometimes the stories in the scriptures are somewhat humorous. Say why? Just because of their, because the earthly response to what God is doing. Sometimes they're sad, sometimes they're humorous. It's like, you're telling the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that knows everything, that? You're trying to pull that one over? I remember years ago, how many of you remember Awana? Anybody ever hear Awana? Right? I used to be at First Bible Baptist Church, and we were in the Awana program, and I had a cousin, Dominic Catrone's younger brother, all right, Tommy, was in my Awana class. So I was the counselor, he was the kid. And there he brought his book in, and there was a signature at the bottom that he said all of his verses. But it wasn't my signature. But it was supposed to be my signature. See, when a seven-year-old tries to write my signature, so I asked him, I said, who signed that? He said, you did. With my feet? Yeah. Turned the page, I said, who signed that? He's like, you did, don't you remember? I said, Tommy. Hung his head down. You know, sometimes we come to the Lord and sometimes people don't see things right. And they try and tell the Lord how it is. That's what happens in this story here. See, when the maniac came to him, he saw him afar. He said, I know who that is. And he ran to him and worshiped. Hey, that is the right response when we see the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Run to him and worship. In John chapter number 9, look at verse 18. But the Jews did not believe. Jesus heals a blind man. See, in our story, although the blindness is healed, there's still an incredible amount of blindness in our story. Although the man has been healed from his blindness, the Jews are still very much blind. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind, in verse 18, and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight, in verse 19. And they asked him, saying, is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. What a great answer, right? Hey, we're trying to get to the matter of this. We're interviewing people. We have this young man that says he was blind, but now he can see. Now we know that that is not possible. And the parents say, well, let me tell you this. That is our son. Yes, he was blind yesterday, and now he sees. We don't know how that all worked out, but we do know all of those things are true. Verse 22. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, said his parents, he is of age to try and defer the questioning. Why don't you ask him what happened? Verse 24. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. Talking of Jesus. There's a lot more blindness going on here than just the eyes. And if you don't see that God can work in your life, you're just as blind as these Jews in this passage. See, there's no way God could take a maniac and turn his life around in that short amount of time. And you're calling God a liar. Many see Jesus just as a man. And they are blind. Look at verse 35 of this John chapter 9. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Hey, this blind guy got cast out of the synagogue. Say, what's the big deal? And that's his whole culture, his life. Jesus heard that. Man, Talk about a second touch from the Lord. He goes after him and says, "Hey, I heard, tell me what happened." He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen me, and it is he that talketh with thee." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. See, when you see Jesus for who he is, you know what happens in our heart? Worship. That's what happened with a maniac that was possessed of a legion. When he saw Jesus, he ran and worshiped. And I just wonder, in our life, would he say the same thing about us? If he came walking through here, or he was working in your life, would you worship? Or would you be like the blind Jews and say, "I don't know about all this. I'm kind of skeptical. I know. Hey, let's find out who sinned here." See, when we come to the Lord and meet with the Lord, there's no more blindness. Lastly, go back to, go actually to Luke chapter number 8. Luke chapter number 8. Look at verse 27. This is the same story that we find in Mark chapter number 5, but there's one key thought here that isn't stated in Mark chapter 5. In Luke chapter number 8 in verse 27, "And when he went forth to the land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house but in the tombs." See, in Mark chapter 5, we're not told about his outfit or lack thereof. So when we read Mark chapter number 5 and verse 15, and they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and the legion sitting and clothed, that's significant. Because last time we saw this guy, he was all cut up, naked, crazy, screaming, yelling. See, when you come to Christ, there's no more nakedness. So what do you mean? Go to Isaiah 64. Isaiah 64. This is a great verse. Isaiah 64 and verse 6. "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away." See, our righteousness isn't good, but what Christ does is gives us his righteousness. And I am now clothed in his righteousness. What I understand that this man physically was naked and now he's clothed, but so much more, he took off his filthy righteousness or unrighteousness, the lack of righteousness, and is sitting here now in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And so are you and I. In Romans chapter 13 and verse 14, it tells us to put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. His righteousness. Say, "My righteousness is good enough." Your righteousness isn't good enough, because you have no righteousness outside of Christ. How to go? Sometimes we have meetings, right? Maybe at work, and you're nervous, and hey, it's been coming up, and for a week you've been preparing for that big meeting with the boss. You come home, and how'd the meeting go? "Excuse me, sir, Mark chapter 5, how'd the meeting go?" "Oh man, it went unbelievable. I no longer am living in the tombs. I am no longer bound by the sins of this world. I am no longer blind to my sin. I can see Jesus and I can worship him. I have been clothed, not just physically, but spiritually. My nakedness, my uncleanness is gone. And I sit here now changed by Christ and his righteousness." And that's you and I. That's what we have. You may look at this maniac and go, "I have no identification with this." This is exactly who we were. We have a changed look now, from the inside out. I'm not talking about a suit. I'm talking about the righteousness of Christ. Mark chapter 5 and verse 15. "And they came to Jesus and see him, that he was possessed, the devil and the legion, sitting and clothed and his righteous right mind. In his right mind. What was the last time we had any interaction with him? Oh, it was last night when he was up in the mountains scaring my little kids again. Screaming, yelling. Now he's sitting here having a conversation with Christ. Not only did he have a changed look, he had a changed desire. Mark chapter 5 and verse 18. When he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Hey, when you meet the Lord Jesus Christ, that's all you want is just to be with him. That's all you want. You just want to be with him. Oh. That wasn't distracting. Sorry. A changed desire. We have a changed desire. What did he want? He no longer wanted to live in the tombs. He no longer wanted to live among the dead. He no longer wanted to cut himself anymore. What did he do? He tried to get on the boat with Jesus. Not only a changed look, not only a changed desire, but lastly, look at this, a changed job. Look at verse 19. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not. He says, hold on a second. I don't want you to come with me. But what does he say? But saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. He says, you have got to come here. You've got to go home. You've got to tell your friend. Just you showing up and having a conversation is going to glorify me. Please go do that. And the Bible says this. He had a new job and he departed and began to publish in Decapolis, which is like a group of 10 cities, how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. Has your life been changed by the Lord Jesus Christ? Were you once living among the tombs? Now, no longer bound by the chains of this world. Now, no longer living in blindness. Now, clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You have a new job. You have a new job. You need to go and you need to tell. You need to go publish it. You need to go back to your family. You need to go back to your friends. You need to live a life that testifies that the power and the change of things of God are true. And the Bible says, and all men did marvel. How many of your old lost friends know what you were like to only find out now what a change has happened? There's a benefit in meeting with Jesus. Let's all stand. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, I just invite you right now. Come forward. We'll show you from the Scriptures. It'll be shown to you from the Scriptures what it means to be saved, to have your sins forgiven. If you don't know that, come forward right now. No, don't even wait. No, you no longer have to live among the dead. You can be given life. You no longer have to be chained to the things of this world. Hey, if you're struggling with sin, do you understand that Jesus Christ has set you free? Set you free. He says you can be free. You are no longer bound by sin. Hey, don't lie to yourself and say, I can control my sin. No, you can't. Come and worship. Clothed in righteousness. How about this? That last verse. Lord, give me the courage to go tell my friends and family and live a life that glorifies you. Lord, help me with those things.